Andrew, can you pretend to be Andrew for a second?
Hi, I'm Andrew. Sometimes I actually show up for the podcast, other times I don't. I'm Andrew Riley, and this is the 22nd Drupal Easy Podcast. Today with us, we have Mike Anilla. How's it going, Mike?
It is going well, and today I promise to talk less than Morton, DK, and last week's podcast.
Oh, burn!
We love you more.
And we also have Ryan Price.
Good afternoon, good morning, whatever time it is. Oh, it is afternoon now. Special time.
So is this what your voice sounds like? Because I did not hear it at all during the last podcast.
Oh, burned again!
No, I gotta tell you, I just listened to that podcast on the drive over here this afternoon. And that was a heck of an hour with Mort. But he's literally like a wind-up doll.
He is. A little bit.
You turned the crank by asking him like a 10-word question. And then did you like go out to like Wendy's and get yourself a Frosty?
Frosty with fries.
He is a podcast machine.
He really is. He really, really is.
I mean, it was a great interview.
He answers his own questions, and he like leads himself on these like rat holes inside of his own conversation.
Plus, he does not breathe.
Right.
It was if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely, you know, as soon as you're done listening to this, go back to number 21 and listen to Morton. And
this is what I want to see at the next DrupalCon is Morton's class on circular breathing.
Yeah, that'd be a hit.
Either that or Morton's actually a Cylon. Yeah, he's actually the 13th Cylon that hasn't been uncovered yet.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I miss you, Andrew. I'm glad you're back. Yeah.
And we also have Eric. I have no idea what your last name is, Eric.
Baldwin, but also called Bladwin from the email mistake from Mike.
So we have Eric Bladwin with us, folks.
So you know what's crazy about this? I was going to refrain from calling him Bladwin
tomorrow.
You opened the door.
I knew you were going to do it anyway. So.
And you also bring something that we really don't normally have on this podcast, is the designer side.
Yes.
Because we're admitted developer heavy on this podcast, so it should be good.
Well, I was going to say a beard. Or maybe long hair.
Yes, for all of you who are listening in who don't know what he looks like, he has a beard and long hair.
Eric is one of the designers that works with Drupal Easy a lot on a bunch of our projects. Drupal designer / themer.
He's specifically here, so I can't beat up on designers anymore because Drupal hates designers.
I didn't think so. It's okay.
It'll be a throwdown.
Okay, so every week we choose 5 topics that we think you should know about in the Drupal sphere out there. And this week we definitely have some interesting topics, both about current Drupal and future Drupal. So the first one's kind of a meta topic, and it's Drupal 7 progress. Because I don't know if you know, we're actually in technically a code freeze, even though everyone's been calling it a code slush, where they're kind of doing the final check-ins of major things for Drupal 7. Originally, it was supposed to be no changes, but I think they had to change up their game a little.
Well, yeah. We're at, like, about 33 degrees right now.
Okay, so...
Because originally, it was going to stop. There was going to be an official freeze, what, Friday? Yesterday, I believe? A couple days ago. But they extended it through the weekend for a couple last tasks that they're trying to get in there.
But last tasks, they're major
in Europe
things.
And Canada, that'll be 1 degree.
One, yeah, yes, okay.
Celsius.
Celsius. Divide by 5, multiply 5/9, add 32, something like that.
So what, 5/9 of a degree?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
33, 5/9.
Not that you multiply by 1.8 and then subtract 30. Oh. I don't know.
Well, you can do 1.8.
Yeah, I just figured out my taxes.
We'll put it in Google.
So anyway, yeah, so a lot of really cool stuff has been gotten in. How was that for English?
That's impressive. Amazing.
It's committed, Mike. It's
these
committed.
Things
it's
you're talking committed. About are not small. This is not a code freeze or a code slush. It is, they're not hitting their deadlines.
Yeah, these are things that a year ago people said were saying, hey, wouldn't it be great if?
Yeah.
And now suddenly, like in the past week and a half, it's like, boom, 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 all this stuff is in.
Yeah, well, don't get me wrong. These are amazing things that we need to have in Drupal 7 to really bring it to the next level.
Why, did we say something bad about them yet?
Well, no, I said that they're missing their deadlines.
Oh, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, so the first thing is dashboard. Mike, you've actually been playing around with this dashboard, right?
Yeah, we just, you know, we were just checking it out on the official Drupal dev version, not from CVS, but from the one you can get from drupal.org/project/Drupal. And, you know, I believe what the dashboard is supposed to do is allow you to kind of drag and drop blocks and other things around to...
So, and this is the admin home screen, right? Is that the idea with dashboard?
I believe
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's the admin home screen. This is the work that was done by the Drupal 7 UX team. I forget their name. Lisa and somebody else. I don't know.
Lisa Reichelt is one of them.
Yes, and there's one other person that's the main... They're the two main people that are leading it, but this is the D7 UX.
Are you Mark Bolton or somebody else?
I don't know. We'll just go with Mark Bolton. my apologies in advance. But that's the work they've been working on. Because remember back at DrupalCon DC, they were having the whole user, the users checking it out. This is actually what's the fruits of their labor.
Right. So the dashboard, you know, the dashboard is the first one. And that's clearly, you know, a UX addition to Drupal, which, you know, there's many of them.
Well, and there's the admin menu now, too. If you haven't seen it yet, you could just use the admin module for Drupal 6, and it's basically the same.
It's pretty close. It doesn't have, it's not as shiny, but it's pretty close.
It's getting there, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you use the admin module for Drupal 6, those top two menu bars are kind of very similar as to what is now in Drupal 7 core. The update module, which is one that I honestly didn't think was going to make it into core, and I haven't actually had a chance to fully check it out yet, but this lets you update modules from the web UI without FTPing them down and unzipping them. It's basically a couple of clicks to automatically have these modules updated or installed.
Now, see, the reason this one isn't core, I think, is peer pressure. Because every, like...
WordPress has it.
Yeah, every time the argument comes out, they're like, well, Drupal's a CMS, but you can't do it, and WordPress supposedly isn't a CMS, but you can do it, so Drupal sucks.
Those first two things, WordPress has it, but WordPress does not have a configurable dashboard, not in the least. You just get to read Matt's blog, and I'm sorry, but it's just PhotoMatt. What do we really need to know?
So it's a good feature for, I would say, the less technical users to help them ease that curve of getting into Drupal. But I also think it's a very, well, let's just say it's a EPIN type of measurement as well.
And I think if you are, you know, as a developer, if you use source control, I'm not sure how or if this is going to be able to integrate with your source control system.
Well, for my large production sites, that's the first thing I'm disabling.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last thing I need is the client going in and updating some module that hasn't been tested, et cetera. And
yeah, I think this is kind of, you know, like you guys just said, this is kind of a nod to everybody else has it.
Yeah.
We should have it in here. And it'd be really good for small sites,
exactly.
Hobby sites.
Right, like Andrew was saying, it's good for single users,
right.
Maybe even for our Drupal Easy site, because we tend to just manage that ourselves.
Right.
But there's going to reach a certain point when, well, particularly if you've got everything in source control, the integration point is something that needs to be tested and played with and messed with. However, if you're using a distributed source control like Git or Bazaar or Mercurial that doesn't keep all the meta files in that directory, it actually doesn't matter. So that's a good case. There's actually, I think there's one of those Lullabot Drupal voices where Emma Jane is talking about Bazaar.
Yeah, it was just about four of the Drupal voices ago, I believe.
Yeah. Well, who knows by the time this thing comes out.
Yes, 23.
Now, the other thing about the update module that kind of scares me is whenever I update a module or install a new module on the site, I never do it on the live site.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing it on a dev site or on my laptop or on a staging server to find out if it's going to break anything.
Yeah.
So this is very, you know, it's a very easy thing like, oh, there's a security update. I don't really have time to do it the right way right now, so I'll just hit this button and update it and keep my fingers crossed that nothing's going to go wrong.
Well, here's my question, too, is for features, have you guys done anything that's installed off of a feature server yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. I've only just been looking at it in we have an open Atrium that we use for some of our project management, and it's got the update button, and I'm sort of like itching to see what happens when I push it, but I'm still kind of nervous.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see what kind of issues arise from having that in core. Yeah, the next one?
Yeah, next up we have Image API. Actually, I see this as a pretty big one. Actually, a second biggest out of all the ones I think we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and this was kind of the one that was out of the ones that were the five that we're going to talk about. This is the one that was probably most expected, I would say.
Yeah.
This is something Drupal sorely needed for, you know, several versions. image field, image cache, image API. They're all, you know, pretty solid. So it took,
I mean, Drupal's internal handling of files was already pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've ever actually written any code that deals with uploading files, I was amazed at how sort of effortless it was and how so many things are just done automatically for you. And it's really nice, but the fact that you can now add these extra images like filters and, you know, turn things into black and white or resize them or scale them or whatever.
But also you can mix it now with the field wrappers that they have that were in Drupal 7, and that opens up a whole new level of things that you can do with your images and where you can store them. So it's kind of building upon
stream wrappers.
Stream wrappers, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. So you can now say, oh, this image, all these images, I want them to go up to my content delivery network or over to the file server. That whole concept of having a file server is something that a lot of large sites have.
Yep.
That it wasn't the super easiest thing to do with Drupal out of the box.
It wasn't super easy. It was a pain. And the next one is the one I think is the biggest is taxonomy as fields.
Also, applause for this one right
Yeah.
here.
Yeah. Woo!
This was just another Drupal voice with the guy from Chicago. I forgot his name. Let me pull it up real quick.
Chicago Bill.
Chicago Bill? I don't think it was Bill, was it? It was Benjamin Doherty.
Okay.
Yeah, he was. I think he was a summer code student at some point. I could be wrong on that, though. But yeah, this is a pretty cool one. You know, there's now a new field type that is of type taxonomy.
Well, and this was a module that I've used a bunch in the past.
Is it content CCK taxonomy?
Taxonomy or content taxonomy?
Yeah. Yeah,
I can never remember which one it is, but there's one that I like because it works with hierarchical select.
Right.
That's the one I like. and it's very useful. Sometimes you just want to refer to a taxonomy term. You don't actually want it to live in that taxonomy. So it's kind of like a taxonomy reference field. And it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I think for, again, you know, this kind of is back to what we talked about with the update module. For simple sites, this is probably not that big of a deal. But for more complex sites that really leverage taxonomy, did I say taxonomy?
Yeah.
You're okay.
Taxonomy. Everything's bigger in Texas. For sites that really leverage taxonomy, you know, this is a pretty big deal. This is going to kind of open some doors and make things...
Well, and I would like to see the source code of what the new taxonomy core module looks like, because that's a really good, you know, implementation for probably saying, here's this thing where we're using generic field storage, but then we're going to add this extra layer on top of it that does RSS feeds and queries and, you know, the extra kind of stuff that comes along with taxonomy. At the same time, taxonomy is its own data type, and can we do, can taxonomy have fields attached to it yet? I know that I really want that to
have another field. Because I think that's like, how they're going to handle hierarchical
right.
taxonomies.
So a taxonomy is a data type, like a node, a user, a menu, a block are all data types. But I think, is taxonomy fieldable, as you would say? Users are fieldable, so you
right,
can say
right.
this user, in addition to having an email address, also has a first name, last name, birth date, image,
right.
etc.
Yes, I believe so, because that's why modules like taxonomy image won't be around for Drupal 7,
right.
because you can associate an image
with that
taxonomy. Right. Fields,
that taxonomy.
Fields is already in core, and
right.
you can just add fields to things that have been implemented with the field API.
Right.
Fieldable, as Ms. Karen says.
Now I'm hoping this clears up some, I won't call them bugs, but quirks with taxonomies as they are. If you do things like you have node revisions enabled, and you have a taxonomy attached to the node, but then you start swapping around your taxonomy vocabularies and the terms, the history, the revision history of that gets all kinds of weird legacy stuff in there, because taxonomy actually lives outside of the revisions, and the revision taxonomy stuff is kind of just tacked onto the node. I really hope this fixes that issue, because it can be a nightmare sometimes if you're using things like taxonomy access control.
Yeah.
So I have high hopes for that one. And then our final one for the Drupal 7 progress actually just made it in. Dries just made an announcement that Edit in Place is available, but I have no idea the extent of Edit in Place.
Yeah, I was. I'm actually trying to find it in Drupal 7 right now. And
this is a funny story that Mike and I were asked to specify a project. And, well, actually, Eric was there, too, at the time. And it... About half of this proposal was, should this be done in Drupal, but we really, really need this edit in place feature. And we kept coming up with sort of these, like, they're not really hacks, but they felt like workarounds. And now that you could say there's at least a mechanism for this in core, hopefully it can be extended and, you know, messed with. Because I think it's a little bit hard right now to save a mod, save a node without having to save the entire node. But I think having things like a field API, you could say, just save this field. Mm-hmm. So I hope that's what this is kind of an interface for.
My understanding of this module is rather plebeian. Plebeian? Yeah. But
the
I
second
thought...
time he's used that word?
No.
I like the word.
Okay.
Well, even if it is, Andrew's got big words on his
side. That is, yeah.
Yeah.
Captain Vocabulary.
But the dashboard and edit in place, I thought they went against each other. The dashboard was a nice way to edit your data. And then you have edit in place, which is just kind of like, here's your website, and just kind of edit this wherever it is. I thought they were at odds. And I remember when D7UX first started up, the edit in place folks started yelling, and everyone started like freaking out, what's happening? What's the point of having both of these? Is it just so people can have a choice? Does it taste great, less filling at the same time?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how those two kind of work together and, you know, how people, you know, kind of choose to use them.
Time will tell.
Now, Ryan, your next story is about Tattler, and there was an announcement that, you know, now they have some kind of Drupal module for it, and they run Drupal, but other than that, I know next to nothing about it. Can you educate me on this?
Okay, well, Tattler, the first thing I have to say is that this is by Phase 2, and Tattler, I'm going to my tab that actually talks about this. They put together this whole, it's a distribution, and it started out as there needed to be a way to sort of get your clipping book. If you're familiar with, you know, what media companies do and, you know, governments do, is every morning somebody has to go out to read every single newspaper and actually physically cut out the stories of what is interesting for the day, and they make a book out of it so that the person in charge, as it were, can sit there and look at all the important stuff. But on the internet, you don't have to physically cut and paste anything. You can just use RSS feeds, and you can filter them by keywords or by topics or by tags or just by authors and authority. So there are a couple of products already that do this, but a lot of them are closed source. You have to pay
a licensing
cost
money
fee to use it. A really popular one I know of is by a company called Radian 6, and they call it social media monitoring, and it seems all very official. So these guys said, Drupal can do that really, really well, and we've got Irakli, and he's a killer programmer, so let's just put him on the task. And it reads through Twitter, it reads through RSS feeds, it reads through Technorati, it reads through Google Blog Search, a bunch of these different services, and I'm sure it's pluggable, and I'm sure you can mess around with it too. And the app has existed for a while in like a closed beta, but now you can just go download it. If you actually go to Drupal.org, there's like a little tiny repository for the install profile. There's not even really a release of it. They just say, please link over to our Tattler download site. And that's where you go and you grab the source code. You can install it wherever you want and mess around with it. Put your keywords in and start playing with things.
So how does it work? Basically, you install it, you give it some keywords.
Yep.
Do you tell it which sites you want it to, or services, I guess?
I think you could tell it specific sites if you want, but it sort of just says, I have this default set of five or six things right. that I go check all the time. And
it runs on Chrome?
Yeah, I think that's the idea, is that it would run, you know, you set your Chrome to run pretty frequently.
Right.
I have to say, I haven't actually installed it myself. I watched the screencast, listened to some interviews, and read some blogs about it. And I've had a couple of email conversations with Phase 2. Hopefully we're going to get to talk to them about this in person pretty soon. Some of the cool things is it's meant to be used by a group of people. A big problem that I have with things like Delicious or Magnolia, hooray, Magnolia's back, is that, or any of these, Reddit, I don't care. You're sharing stories, but it's very personal. So there's no way for really Mike to go in and like leave a comment on a story that I bookmarked, or leave a rating on a something that I bookmarked, unless you're using Magnolia.
or stumble. You can stumble that.
Yeah, you can stumble upon
that. Did you pick this story just so you can talk about Magnolia?
No. I think Tatler is really story. Cool. But one thing that I think is really nice also is that Tatler doesn't require you to manually bookmark things. It's actively sort of pinging the rest of the internet and trying to find stuff.
So it's spiders
instead of you having to go through, you know, with your Google Reader or your whatever RSS reading application that you want to use, it's out there already. Can vote, people can comment, people can favorite things. You can like organize stuff into lists. You can add tags. It uses the OpenCalais service to go out and try to like automatically categorize and tag things.
So it seems like it automates a lot of things that Drupal already did, but it makes it a lot easier to do it. Because a lot of things you're talking about can be done with, you know, manually picking the sites that you want to search, building these RSS feeds, using Feed API.
They're using a lot of off-the-shelf modules and a couple of custom things, but basically it's just this is a distribution, a lot like some of the stuff you see with the Open Atrium, that organic groups is not a new thing, and forums are not a new thing, and calendars are not a new thing.
Right.
But just sort of configuring them all together, putting a theme on it, and making a default install out of it, and then also saying, you're probably going to install this on a subdomain. This isn't going to be your public-facing site. Same thing with Tatler, is you're going to have like a news.myorganization.com, and people will log into that and use it to share news, you know, find out what's going on in the rest of the world without necessarily having to spend 4 or 5 hours a day flipping through RSS feeds and replying to people's Twitters and stuff.
So you can almost make your own, like, Google News channel. Right. It's almost like that.
And what I think would be neat, and I haven't really got a lot of the time to play with it, is to open this up and say, well, we're going to set up a public instance of this so that anybody could come and participate. Like, maybe if it's a large community that has a couple hundred people, and you just want to get the conversation started around, I don't know, hidden Mickeys at Disney World, for example. This might be something cool. Just get that conversation going, because it understands things like videos and images and Twitter and all this other stuff. And I've actually written some scripts and some Yahoo pipes to go and like filter through Twitter before.
Yeah.
But they're all kind of this brute force attack. And one of the only ways to republish that now is by retweeting things, and it ends up being very spammy. You get taken out of the Twitter search results and all this kind of junk. So I think that some of these new meta sites, if we start to be able to make them public, aggregators and planets might actually make a comeback.
How does it handle duplicate content? Do you know?
You're coming to the edge of my understanding.
Welcome
of Tatler
to the
now,
abyss.
Here be dragons.
We'll leave that up to the listeners to determine, and maybe post a comment at drupaleasy.com/podcast. The next story, believe it or not, when I was abducted from aliens, they made me watch this next video. CHX or Chicks or however you call him, I think you call him Charlie.
Charlie.
Had a video all about scalability in Drupal. I've got to say, this dude is smart. It was an awesome video. How about you go over some of the key points that he went over in that video, Mike?
I did not actually watch the video.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
I was Ryan.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, one of the very coolest things that I got out of this, it's a video that Caroli Nagezi did at the Vancouver Drupal Users Group.
Look at you with this proper name. Big, fancy guy.
Yeah.
He basically talked about some of the very low-level API kinds of things that have changed in Drupal 7 that will allow sites to do sort of distributed processing. So a big problem that, and I've actually seen some blog posts about this with how, Lullabot and the team at Warner Brothers has to deal with, they've got 60 sites that are all feeding into this one sort of massive data repository to say, here's all the songs that are getting played, and here's all the ratings that are getting added to these songs. If you've got data coming in from 60 different sites and you want to show it on one, if you try to just run that during one cron job, it doesn't matter what server you're using, it's going to fall flat on its face. And the example that Chix brings up is aggregator. If you look at something like Drupal Planet that's reading through several hundred feeds, or the company where he works, which is now public,
that has to read through maybe several thousand feeds on every cron run, no server is able to handle that. Parsing XML is a pretty memory-intensive, processor-intensive thing. And when are you going to get your rest of your cron stuff done? Things like, you know, clearing out logs and all the other regular sending emails. So there's this new distributed processing API, a queue API, I believe he calls it.
Yeah.
In Drupal 7 that basically says, I, as Drupal, am a processor. I am a producer, and I am going to create a task list. It's just a to-do list for a computer. And every time you have something that needs to get done, like, please read this RSS feed. Please send this batch of 30 emails. Please go and compile all of the 5-star ratings for this song. And I'd want to put all these things in a list. And the cool thing about these queues is, really, when you think about processing RSS feeds, it doesn't matter what order they get processed in. As long as they get done sometime within the next hour, we're happy. So you just take all this stuff and you throw it into the queue, and then you could have like a daemon, which for non-Linux people, it's a process that's always running. So if you're using like a desktop search client and you want to search through all the files, at some point when your computer's not busy, the search daemon goes through all the files on your computer and looks for words and does whatever it has to do to be able to help you search through your desktop. It's always running in the background. You maybe just don't know about it. Web servers are often daemons and mail servers and stuff like this. So there's this batch processing daemon sitting there and waiting to be told to do something. It goes to the queue and it says, give me the next job. Oh, I know how to read RSS feeds. Let me go do that. And the cool thing is, you could now think about, instead of this all happening on one computer, we've got this whole cloud computing thing, you could have all those batch processes running on a suite of servers, maybe up an Amazon EC2, or wherever it is you want to stick your sort of like cheap processing. And those processors don't have to serve web pages. They don't have to do anything super special. They don't have to understand if a user is signed in or not. They don't have to have images and CSS on them. They just need to have a processor, some memory, and a copy of your code. You're done.
Yeah, I think this is the reincarnation, not the reincarnation, but there's a module for Drupal 6. I'm not sure if it started before that, called Job Queue.
Mm-hmm.
It was a developer module, and basically the way it worked was you created a job, and the job was basically a function and a set of arguments, and you gave it to the job queue, and the job queue put all that information in the database table, and then during cron or by another server or however, these jobs would get pulled off the stack and run and results returned and go that way.
So the one thing that he pointed out that's cool about this and a lot of the work that's gone into Drupal 7 is that they're using some object-oriented programming techniques when it's absolutely beneficial. So one instance is this queue API. You can actually overload it with anything you want. So there's actually a open source project out there, and once I learned about this, I went and did some research of several open source projects. But the one that Chicks mentions is BeanstalkD, and it was developed by guys who do this Facebook app called Causes. And if you use Facebook, you've seen Causes, I promise you. And Causes is so popular, they've got thousands and thousands of requests per second for people joining a cause, sending money to it, sending it out to their friends, and then causes grow from like one little person to like 10 people in an icon and all this crap, that there's so many requests coming in, but it really doesn't matter when they get processed, as long as it happens sometime in the next couple hours. So they developed this daemon for Linux called Beanstalk, and it does exactly what this queue API does for Drupal, but it runs as a process, and it can run anywhere you want. So you think about there's the database layer now is object-oriented, and this queue API and the caching stuff that's in Drupal now, a lot of it has these object-oriented interfaces, and you could say, I like how the core one works, but if I've got enough need to want to use something else, I have that flexibility, and I don't have to hack core ever again. It's pretty cool.
You shouldn't have hacked core in the first place.
Yeah.
Every kittens time you had killed. Core. Exactly.
Kittens die.
Think of the kittens, man. Okay, so this next one, Mike, I think it is yours. The future DrupalCon locations.
Yeah, I just thought this was, this is probably a really quick topic, but I just, this is kind of interesting because this
Battle
is.
Battle Royale?
Well, there's a Battle Royale. That's kind of the sub interesting part. But this is the first time that I've known where we've known where the next few DrupalCons are going to be. Obviously, we all know the next one is in San Francisco in April, I believe. But they've also announced that 2011 North American DrupalCon is going to be in Chicago.
This is like the Olympics.
It is like the Olympics. And then the next two European DrupalCons haven't been decided, but they're narrowed down to three cities. So, London, Berlin, and Copenhagen. You know, in 2010, one of those three cities will have a DrupalCon Europe. And in 2011, one of the remaining two cities will have a DrupalCon Europe. And kind of sucks for the...
Actually, I heard that Buenos Aires stole it from Chicago.
Oh.
Again. And everyone in Chicago.
Just the
collective sigh.
It would have been so much better if you said Rio.
Was it Rio? Yeah. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
What is with the European ones? I know we had one in Spain. We need more Mediterranean countries hosting the European ones.
Yeah, we need to get away from pasty white Europe.
DrupalCon,
Florence or Sicily, you know.
Greece,
We need to get to the dark-skinned portion of...
Right. Places that grow olives. That's all I'm concerned about.
DrupalCon Cairo.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Okay. Can we organize that, even though we're not?
Yeah, we're not from the host
city. Let me ask a question. Did Morton, by any chance, bring up DrupalCon in Copenhagen?
No, not at all.
I don't remember hearing anything about that.
Only for, like, 25 minutes.
I have this picture in my mind that if it's not in Copenhagen, Morton is showing up in London or Berlin. I guess not.
I'm going to see him with like a Viking helmet and a big hammer.
Well, he's actually going to be on the Viking ship.
Well, I'm just sailing into these cities, you know. He's going to be that robot.
But it's really exciting. You know, we know where we're going to be, and we're planning far ahead, and the Drupal Association is, they're doing a great job of, you know, kind of turning over the reins to professional management companies and letting the local groups focus on the Drupal-y stuff rather than where are people going to eat, where are people going to sleep, who's going to rent the projectors, you know. So it's cool. It's very exciting.
I wonder if they're going to do something about the video, because I have to say, the guys that do the video stuff and volunteer all of their time and their equipment, they've got their work really cut out for them.
That's a lot of work.
Just doing 2 hours of video is a huge deal, not to mention something like 200 hours.
Yeah. They could just Ustream it all.
You're right.
Our next story is kind of a public service announcement. Don't use Drupal, or don't use Drupal, no. Don't use PHP 5.3 with Drupal yet. There are currently some issues with that. Now, to extend on it, Drewish had a post on Snow Leopard, because the Snow Leopard puts 5.3 on by default. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird decision from the people that put out the Apple operating system to... PHP 5.3 hasn't really been out that long.
It's the cutting edge version. It's where they try all their new stuff.
Yeah. A lot of times when, you know, Apple puts out a new version of the Mac operating system, you'll get like last year's version. And for some reason they went with PHP 5.3, and Drupal and PHP 5.3 are not friends.
All right, so let me ask a question. I use a Mac. What's the advantage of using Apple's built-in Apache server? Which, you know, I used that for about a year on this before I switched over to MIMP. And I just find MIMP to be so much easier to use and to upgrade. Why doesn't everybody do that? Is there an advantage to going with Apple's built-in Apache installation? This is what I'm not very clear on.
I think it's just a matter of preference for most part. It's sort of one of these things that if I don't know how to edit my httpd conf file, then when I actually have to go do it on a real server, I'm really rusty and I have to look it up. So just doing it got me into practice, and now I really haven't forgotten how to do it for almost 2 years since I actually set it up on my laptop. And I can also help other people do it or debug problems with servers that I used to say, I don't do anything with servers. I just write code. But now I can say, oh, I know enough about servers to be very dangerous. And don't give me your root password.
You heard it here first. Do not give Ryan root password.
Okay, we got a little bit of Drupal Easy news for this episode.
Yes, we have another book away.
That's a new name.
Book away. Phrase.
Book.com. I'm going to change
trademark.
It.
Trademark. Copyright. Bookaway.com.
Away. I'm going to put that in quotes, and I'm going to put a little trademark next to it. Fantastic.
So we got some winners?
We do. We have two winners for Drupal 6 Social Networking, a book by Michael Peacock, and I interviewed him a few weeks ago on Drupal Easy Podcast 19?
Sure.
20, maybe? No, I think it was 19. Anyway, we just picked two random winners from everybody who entered, and those are Johan Falk and Michelle Cox. And we will be getting in touch with them and getting them their copies of their book. We have one book away going on right now, and that is for Drupal 6 Site Blueprints. That is by Timmy Ogunjobi, and I think I have his name finally right. I actually interviewed him on Skype the other day from Africa, but the
Skype was definitely glitchy on that one.
Recording was not very good, so we decided not to release it as a podcast, but there is an article on DrupalEasy.com with snippets from the interview and a bunch of information about the book. And again, if we're giving away two copies, thanks to the great people over at Pact Publishing. So if you'd like a copy of that book, go to DrupalEasy.com and leave us a comment saying you'd like a copy of the book.
And now it's time for our picks of the week. Each week we choose either a module, theme, or even something totally unrelated to Drupal, just to let you know a little tidbit about. So my pick of the week is the multi-step module. What it allows you to do is have a long node form. Let's just say you created one for a property listing and there was 100 fields. You don't want that all to be on one page listing. So you install this module, it breaks it up by your field sets, and then when you hit submit or next, actually I think it is, it looks like it's loading another page, and it breaks it up into logical steps so you know you're on page 1 of 8 of submitting this node. So it's kind of nice not to slap your users in the face with a trout of a large form.
Trout.
So, does this have anything?
Wow.
Does this have anything to do
with... I'm so glad
you
said trout.
How CTools does its multi-step forms?
Yeah, I don't think this uses CTools.
No.
But I think it's the kind of the same idea.
Because that is something that I would definitely like to check out in the future. I think of a specific social networking project I worked on in the past where we had a gigantic form and we had to break it up into 4 pages just right, so you could see it without having to scroll forever.
And Mike, what's your pick of the week?
My pick is the Pre-Populate module by Joshua Brower. I hope that's how you pronounce his last name. And you know, I like these dead simple modules that solve a little problem. And this one was, it's a client who was sending out an email blast to their users, and they wanted people to be able to click on a link, go to a form, and have part of that and have some of the form fields pre-populated with data. And this module basically does everything for us. It's a way to grab form field values from a URL and stick them into a form field automatically. So in the case of my client, I believe they were using it. They were sending out email newsletter. The links to all the articles led to a registration page. And in the link for each article had the user's email address. So when they went to the registration page, your email address was already filled in.
Nice.
Very easy, very quick, and solved, one of those client wishes that they, said, wouldn't it be nice if we could do this? And Drupal said, yes, here you go.
There's a module for that.
There's a module for that.
And Ryan, what's your pick of the week?
My module is actually something that I stole from Morton. It's Semantic Views by Mr. Bang Pound. And I'm pretty sure you can see that guy on the Twitter as Bang Pound also.
That's an awesome handle.
Basically, this just takes all of the theme files for views and overrides them. And instead of doing it necessarily with files, it gives you this like UI inside of your Vue's admin UI, and it lets you decide this right here, instead of it being wrapped in a div, I want it to be wrapped in an H1. Or this over here, I want this to be wrapped, you know, inside of a span with an LI around it, blah, 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 blah. And so if you know people that are really, really hardcore SEO people,
yeah.
They want to have control over every single flavor and bit that's on that HTML output. And Vue's is one place where you're going to have to do a lot of overriding, but Semantic Vue's brings that into the admin UI. And if you could teach the person how to use Vue's, then you could teach them how to use Semantic Vue's, and they could do everything themselves.
Yeah, this module is at the top of my list for modules that I am just itching to use. Mm. And I'm looking for an excuse to try out this module, and I hope it works as well as, you know, I imagine it does.
Well, as far as I know, it's still dev release. It's as of this recording anyway. So if you do have problems with it, I'm sure that Benjamin would appreciate any, you know, bug reports or patches. Absolutely.
Now, our site of the week isn't really a site of the week this week. It's more like a bunch of sites, because following Dries' blog, it was large site after large site coming out of Drupal sites. It was a pretty impressive week.
Yeah, this is a pretty big week for Drupal as far as new, big, and these are all happen to be American sites that launched this week. Well, I don't know if they launched this week, but Dries announced them this week. You know, one of the CNN sites, cnngo.com, is now on Drupal. The main page for Duke University in North Carolina, Stanford University website out in Silicon Valley. There are a couple other universities. Just, you know, a really nice week for Drupal. And if you have a presentation that you show to clients of who else is using Drupal, today is the day to update that presentation with these sites.
Yes. Major players have entered the field. And remember, if you want to find any of these modules or sites, all the addresses are listed. You can just click on them. It's that easy. At drupaleasy.com/podcast. And also, you can find our Twitter feeds. We're all listed there. We have Drupal Easy. You can follow. We put out tons of great tips, put out podcast announcements. There's all kinds of wacky stuff on there. And I'm Andrew M. Riley on Twitter. We have Liberator, the 2.0 spelling, and Ultimike as well. I said it right this time. So you can find the links right there at drupaleasy.com/podcast.
I'm actually going to be up in the Northeast, up in Connecticut, in mid-November, and I'm looking for a meetup up there.
Ooh, nice.
I posted on the Connecticut group, which doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of activity. But if anyone's in Central Connecticut specifically, I'm going to be putting together a meetup up there.
And it doesn't have to be super formal.
Oh, no, it'll be at a bar.
Okay, great. Beer and Drupal goes well.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of pizza places that I haven't been to for a while up there, so.
Also, in the first week of November, I'm going to be making a trip up to Raleigh, Research Triangle, I guess you might call it, North Carolina. So if you're in that area, you'll probably be seeing a post from me.
And I just remembered, we have another South Florida meetup. There's a ton of Drupal people in South Florida. October 22nd.
From 6 to 9.
Yeah, from 6 to 9. I believe it's in Boca.
Yep, it's in Boca.
It's in Boca Raton. Go to groups.drupal.org/Florida. We're just, you know, we're really trying hard to get that community down there organized and have, you know, regular meetups. And so this will be the second one in about 3 months. Mm-hmm. So, if you're in South Florida listening to this, by all means, come join us. Let's get that, community rolling and, you know, see what we can do in South Florida.
And I have a first for meetups. I'm going on a cruise on the 22nd. If you were going to the Bahamas on the 22nd on the Carnival Sensation, I'm going to have the first cruise ship Drupal meetup.
Let's meet by the water slide.
Yeah.
Nice.
Andrew will be wearing
a Speedo.
A banana hammock and a fruity drink.
Please. What do you think of me? I have a Borat suit. If you actually are going on this cruise ship, totally blow my mind. Send me a message on Twitter, because that would just be awesome.
Wow.
And
we should do one of those some days.
The cruise. That would be great.
That would be outstanding.
Is it too early or too late to change the camp to
Ah. I would like to have a time machine right now to get the image of Andrew in a Borat suit out of my head. I'd really appreciate that.
Well, the good news is if you're ever having a hard time like waking up in the morning, just think of that and you'll just like hop out of your bed screaming.
Poof. Hey, and by the way, if you're in Central Florida, you could come to our meetup that starts 8 minutes ago.
Yeah, ooh. I guess that means we have to be going. So remember, DrupalEasy.com/podcast, and we are in iTunes. Just search for Drupal Easy, all one word, and there we are. Bam.
See ya.